This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Eric Stokeby Fourth Generation. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo, and guys, we've got a really, really exciting little podcast here to share with you this week. While we were in Chicago, we had a wonderful opportunity not just to meet some wonderful people in the industry, but also to meet some great folks who are creating content about the industry. As you know, if you've been listening for any stretch, you know, we're good friends with Brian Levine from Pipes Magazine Radio, and we absolutely love him. We've got a great back and forth, and man, just love that guy. But, you know, for those of you who've been listening to podcasts for a while, you know that we are not the only two podcasts out there. And in fact, one of the first podcasts on pipes and pipe tobacco was coming out of oompaul.com, the Oompaul podcast that's actually put on by Ollie Sylvester. We were so excited to actually finally get a chance to meet him in person and sit down and finally have a crossover episode with oompaul.com. This is something that I know several of you have mentioned over the years, that this is something that you wanted to see happen. And man, such a great guy. Wonderful to get to know about him, his work with Monstrosity Pipes. You know, we've actually featured his pipes before on the Halloween episode, which is really cool. We got a chance to actually see some of the pipes that we featured in person at Chicago. But I'll let Ollie and John David talk to you all about all of the great stuff that he's got going on. We're really excited about this. But first, we got to give a shout out to our sponsor for this episode, Eric Stokeby, Fourth Generation. 1931, the Eric Peters blend I mentioned last week. Of course, this is a beautiful flake tobacco in its truest sense. It is a balance of Kentucky Burley and overripe Virginia tobaccos blended with a small measure of Black Cavendish. Guys, it's an awesome smoke. It's got a beautiful tin. I love the brand, guys. The Fourth Generation brand, it just oozes quality. Like there's just something about it that you get the sense that it's like a cut above the rest. You see it in his products. I mean, just take a look at the 1931 pipe series. I mean, they're all absolutely gorgeous. In fact, you can find them at fourthgenertobacco.com. Go check those out. Let them know that you really appreciate them sponsoring this show, helping bring this to you every single week. All right, guys, here it is, our crossover. Country Squire Radio and oompaul.com coming together here in Chicago.
Live from day two at the Chicagoland Pipe Show, man. So excited to have an interview guest today who also has his own podcast and who makes incredibly fascinating pipes. But I'd like to welcome on board Ollie Sylvester. How are you, sir?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah. Hey, glad to be here.
Yeah. Has it been a good convention for you? Have you sold pieces to at least pay your plane ticket to get home and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, sure did. It's been a nice show. It's been really good, and it's been great to see old friends and meet new ones too. It's always awesome.
Yeah. How many times have you been to the Chicago show now?
I'm not sure. We didn't make it last year, but the years prior to that, I'm going to guess maybe four prior to that.
Yeah. Okay. So you've been around a while. Ollie, tell us kind of a background of your experience and how did you get into pipe smoking just in general? Then obviously, of course, we want to talk about your craft, which is so unique.
You know, it's odd, but when I was a kid, I actually had a pipe collection. There was an old guy down the street, Mr. Follis, who would sell us kids pipes. And my parents allowed me to buy pipes from him as long as I promised I wouldn't smoke them.
Yeah.
And so I was probably maybe 11.
How foolish, right?
Right. Yeah. And so I had my own little pipe collection. And to me, they were just these, I don't know why I was so drawn to them, because I didn't have anyone in my family that smoked pipes or anything like that. But just the way they looked, they were like little sculptures to me. And so I started my own pipe collection when I was about 11 years old, and I've always just loved them ever since.
That's crazy. Really cool. That's really cool. So it's something that just kind of stuck with you since then. Are you a daily smoker? Is it something that's more occasional for you? Or
it's more occasional for me, yeah. And it's usually when I'm making pipes. So
isn't that interesting? Yeah.
It's not an everyday thing for me, but whenever I can get out there and work on pipes, I usually have a pipe in my mouth working on stuff. So.
Yeah, yeah. You make Monstrosity pipes, mm-hmm. which have just a really unique brand and I think fulfill a really interesting role in the pipe community. Do you have another job? Is there something else you do on the side? Or?
Oh yeah, I have a 9-to-5 in the corporate world.
Okay. What do you do in your real life?
I am a production manager and a caps manager for a large financial institution, and so basically if you have a credit card, I probably have something to do with it.
Okay.
It
should I be terrified?
Yes, you should.
Probably.
So, no. No, not at all. So, it basically involves me making sure that printed material gets printed the right way and delivered to the right facility so that it can end up in your mailbox so that you know if your APR has changed or if your privacy policy has changed and a couple other things besides that. It's incredibly boring, but it pays the bills and it keeps me hopping. And right now I'm just overwhelmed, which is why it's been a while since I put out a podcast.
That's good, man. Yeah, we want to talk about your podcast in a little bit as well, but you've got this job that, like you said, is maybe a little mundane, pays some bills, so you're thankful for it, but
for sure.
And where are you based out of again, Ollie? Where
Auburn,
do you live?
Georgia. So Auburn a tiny little town located between Athens and Atlanta.
Okay Probably kind of mountainous in that part of the state, huh? Or a little hilly?
Not yet. A little bit further north you get some hills, but not quite yet.
Yeah, Georgia's really pretty. I don't get over there as much as I'd like to, but that's cool. How did you get from this how'd you get into pipe carving? I mean, when did that kind of become an idea for you?
So back in 2008, my wife kind of got me into podcasting. She said, you love pipes, and I really think you should do podcasting because you know all these people in the pipe world.
Yeah.
And so she kind of shoved me into podcasting, if you will, and kind of set me up with all the technical stuff I needed and got me going. And the thing that was kind of the impetus was Bjarne Nielsen was coming to our pipe club in Atlanta.
That's
back
cool.
Then in 2008. And I said, you know what? This is a sign. This is like a now or never kind of thing. If I don't record him, I'm just going to forget about it. And so he agreed to do the interview, and it was just amazing because there's like chunks of history in that interview that there's no way I would have ever found out
exactly
had I not done that interview. So from the podcast, I wanted to kind of give something to folks who supported the podcast. That was my initial idea with Monstrosity Pipes, but I couldn't carve pipes. I didn't know anything about it. So I worked some stuff out with a couple different carvers to help me out to give something out there, put something out there so that people could actually buy a pipe and support the podcast, stuff like that. And so that's how it started. And eventually I decided, you know what, I really need to learn how to make these myself instead of relying on these other guys who were so gracious to help me out in the Monstrosity, the very beginnings of the Monstrosities. But eventually I decided to study under Todd Johnson, and he graciously allowed me to do that. And that was a wild ride. And Todd's just a master at making pipes, obviously.
Absolutely.
And he was very kind to field all of my questions along the way, because I, from an art school background, when somebody tells me something mechanical, I want to know, well, how about this? Why don't we do it this way? How about this kind of stuff? Why don't we use this instead of that? So he was very thankfully gracious in fielding
kind
all of my
walking
questions.
Walking with you as you went down that path.
Yeah, and I want to point out, too, that Bruce Weaver has been a huge influence in my pipe making world. Over the years, Bruce has given me just some amazing tips and help along the way. He's just a great friend, and I can't say enough about that guy either.
That's awesome. That's one thing we've talked about with almost every carver we've met over the last few years. The pipe world is a very generous, giving world, particularly on the carver side, and so particularly in the American artisan carver side. And so you've just got a lot of folks that are really willing to. Really willing to collaborate. For a new carver kind of coming in, if they're willing to approach it humbly and graciously, I think there's a lot of resources out there for new folks that are kind of diving in. Is that your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much nowadays too online that you can get to, and so many folks willing to help you out. It's we're in a very fortunate kind of space.
Yeah, that's great. So you started making pipes. Give us kind of, and you do have a background. You mentioned going to school for art and design, right? Did you go to the Savannah College of Art and Design?
Or? I did, Savannah College of Art and Design. The one that's actually in Savannah. This was prior to the Atlanta branch.
Atlanta campus.
Yeah.
Okay. Real creative hub in the Southeast. I know I've had a lot of friends over the years that have gone over to that part of the world to get some education. But so tell us kind of the idea behind Monstrosity Pipes. You're making these pipes to kind of help support your your hobby, I guess, but you know, it's taken off into more than that. So what tell us about the idea behind Monstrosity.
So there's kind of two veins in Monstrosity pipes. There's a straight up Monstrosity fun where I build them from scratch, you know, from start to finish.
Right.
And there's also this zombie line where I take pipes that could not pass muster with another company.
Right.
And so they decided, you know what, we're not going to sell these. There's a blemish on the outside. There's the tenon screwed up. You know, something's cracked or whatever. And I take these guys that nobody wants anymore. They're not worth anything to anybody.
Right, right.
And I fix them, and then I put my own twist on them. They become zombies so that they can basically live again, right?
that's awesome.
That's the zombie line, and I have a lot of fun with those. And it's fun to take these pipes that were not smoked ever, that were destined for the trash bin,
yeah,
and turn them into something that, in my eyes, is really cool and really fun to smoke and really fun to look at. And it brings new life to those, you know, those poor kind of forgotten, you know, underdogs. I can totally relate to that.
I feel like I can relate to that, too. That's pretty awesome, yeah. So you incorporate, you're well known, obviously, for incorporating a lot of different media into the pipe. You know, traditionalists will say, you know, well, is it a briar pipe or a meerschaum pipe or a corncob pipe? And you're any given pipe of yours might tick one, multiple of those boxes, or maybe another box that says other.
Yeah.
You know, tell us about kind of how you start experimenting with using the different media. I know you've used, you know, everything from, you know, the wooden spikes that I've seen on some of your cob pipes that you've rehabilitated into, you know, saw blades and fishing line and, you know, all kinds of stuff. I mean, give us an idea of what your inspiration is for that.
You know, from art school, I've always been a fan of these guys who were able to pull stuff out of the street and make something interesting out of it. And so that's found object art. So guys like Kurt Schwitters and guys like, you know, Marcel Duchamp, and yeah, just a number of really cool, interesting, all the Dadaists were fascinating to me. So that those guys, you know, they would take things that you would see every day that was maybe, you know, street trash or something that's very common, like maybe a pair of dice or spoons, and they would twist it and turn it on its head and show it to you in a totally different way so that you thought about it in a different way.
Yeah.
And that always fascinated me when somebody can take my brain and make me chew on something in a way that I was not able to chew on before. That's always really fascinated me. And when someone can do that with a simple piece of art, or even a phrase, or, you know, Matisse, Magritte. Magritte especially was really awesome about that. It really fascinated me when someone can put something in front of me and make me think about things differently that way.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of, I think, my impetus or my interest in using other things that you wouldn't normally associate with pipes or the pipe world and give them new life or give them allow you to see things in a different way than maybe you did before.
Yeah, yeah. And they really are different and beautiful in their own way. I know a lot of folks, you know, look at them, and if they want something truly unique in their collection, they, you know, you're just a really good bet that you're going to have something interesting coming out of the shop in the near future.
Well, so thank you very much. And, you know, all my work's always 100% guaranteed for life. I don't care what it is. I'm always going to stand behind it, and I'm always going to do whatever it takes to make sure that, you know, you're happy forever. I mean,
yeah.
I don't care if your coffee mug breaks. I'm going to send you another one. You know?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Tell us, you know, obviously being on a podcast, a lot of folks are listening to us now, and some people that may not be familiar with your work, describe just a couple of your favorite pieces, maybe. Just to give folks an idea, if you can think, like, they can visually think in their mind if they're driving down the road, like, what some of your pipes might look like.
Well, a couple years back, I was fortunate enough to have one of my pipes on the cover of Pipes and Tobaccos magazine, and that one was called Witch's Tooth. And so I took the base of a silver candelabra, and I put an antler on that base, and the antler was kind of turned where the point was kind of down. So if you're thinking about a tooth instead of an antler, you might think about that as a tooth. And then through that antler, came the pipe bowl. And so you've got a Delrin tenon that's running basically through the bowl and then through the antler, and then eventually you've got a German ebonite stem coming off of that. So that was Witch's Tooth, and that was on the cover of PNT a couple years back. And that was a really fun pipe, and I really loved the way that turned out because you've got silver.
Yeah.
You've got a hand-colored deer antler.
Yeah.
You've got briar, and you've got Delrin, and these are from, you know, these are all over the place. These are materials that don't gel, but then you throw them into the same box together, and then they make something totally different. And I think that's what I really love about when a piece can come together with these very, very odd, separate objects that you wouldn't think should go together.
Right.
But
right.
Now you're forced to see them together.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I think it's really fun.
It's almost a challenge for the smoker. I mean, it is a form of art. You know, it is challenging to, you like you said, you're forcing the person to see these together, and it makes a hole that's very functional, but, you know, beautiful in its own way. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of fun. Anytime you can get somebody's brain to do something different and chew on something in a different way, I think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stubborn brains out there, man.
I get it, brother. I get it. Man, that's good. I know our friend, we have a mutual friend, Russ Hicks, who's been on the show before. And Russ, a good friend, he grew up in Mississippi, now lives in Savannah, and is a talented artist in his own right. But he has several of your pipes, big fan of your work, and talks occasionally about, you know, how some of those pipes, he has to be careful how he holds them, how he grabs them. He's afraid he might, you know, either puncture himself or, you know, I don't know, stab himself with a pipe because it's, you know, they're challenging pieces, you know, even to figure out sometimes how to hold because of all the different media that's there. I think that's just kind of fun.
Yeah, sometimes I think Russ has one of mine that employs very small circular saw blades. And if you're not careful, you'll cut yourself.
Right.
And
do you have liability insurance? Is that something you take out on? Don't answer that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a different topic.
That's great.
No, you have to be a little bit daring if you're going to smoke my pipes. But, yeah, Russ is such a good friend, and what a talent. I mean, that guy's an incredible artist.
He's
he did
really
some
talented.
Art for me for a couple series of pipes that I did. And the art
right.
just...
He had mentioned that.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, the art is just fantastic. I mean, the Gnome Heart series, he did the art for those. Those posters are still available, and they're insane. Just lots of really cool art that he's put out for the Bogby series, the Strega series, the Gorgon series. He's a phenomenal artist, and I'm just happy to call him a friend, not to mention be able to collaborate with him on this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Russ is one of the most knowledgeable pipe smoking enthusiasts I know, to not be necessarily directly involved in the industry, but he's just well-connected, knows a lot about tobacco and the folks in the industry, so we love Russ. You know, I guess I'd like to ask a couple other things just briefly. You know, do you have any projects kind of coming out in the near future that you're interested in or might want to share with us? Any hints you can drop about some future work?
Yeah, I do. I've got a lot of ideas that are being worked out right now. There's a series that's coming out right now that has some stainless steel tubes that I've used that are... They have a nice bend in them, and in order to seat them, I've actually sharpened them so they actually kind of poke into the wood just slightly so that they're seated and they don't turn around. Those are really lovely, and I'm really digging those. But
seems
besides,
like a lot of stainless steel's being used, the tubing in pipes right now.
It's pretty popular right now, and yeah. I think it's a lot of fun to work with. So
yeah.
I think there's going to be some more experimentation going on with that in the near future.
Okay.
But also, oh gosh. I've just got tons of stuff going on, dude, and it's nuts. It's crazy weird stuff, and it's a lot of fun.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Man, that's great. That's great. Well, real quickly, tell us about your podcast. You've been podcasting now since 2008, is that right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
And kind of the vision behind that, and obviously it sounds like that was kind of the impetus for getting you into the pipe carving world, but... you know, tell us just a little bit about your podcast.
So in 2008, I started, like I said, with that Bjarne Nielsen podcast. And, you know, not very long after that, he actually passed away. So
yeah.
We've got this little chunk of history, a little kind of snapshot of what was going on in his life and his mind at that point.
It's powerful.
And, you know, that's so important to kind of catalog what's going on in our pipe world. And I was able to do that over and over and over since then with a number of different people in the industry and carvers and whatnot. And my intent is to keep building that library of interesting conversation between artisan and normal guy, as well as people in the industry who make big changes or big calls in the industry, see what their take is on it. And I think it's been a lot of fun, and I haven't been able to do it as much as I would like just because of my 9-to-5.
Sure. Yeah.
But building upon that library is definitely something that I want to keep doing when I can. And I love that it's out there. People all over the world still tune into it. It's crazy, the numbers, but you know, people are still listening to it. New listeners
That's awesome. All the time,
all over the world. It's nuts. But it's great to be able to have kind of a library, a little catalog of, you know, this stuff. You can go back and listen to people from years ago and what their take on it was then, even, you know. Because things change. I mean, if you listen to some of those old ones, things have changed.
Oh, quite a bit, yeah.
It's pretty wild. But it's a lot of fun, and I've been able to meet a lot of great people like yourself this way. I mean, believe it or not, I'm a bit of an introvert, and, you know, it's not easy for me to talk to people and hang out with people. But
I'm tracking with you, dude. I feel the same way.
It's, you know, when you sit down in front of a microphone with them, or you call them on the phone and you have these questions to ask them, it's a huge icebreaker, and it's easier, you know? And I've been able just to meet some amazing friends and makers and people in the industry that way that there's no way I would have made that connection otherwise, you know? So I'm incredibly grateful to all the people I've been able to meet just from the podcast. It's been wonderful.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Well, man, thank you for coming on. One last question. If you were to, we always ask a guest this when they come on board, but if you were to have a pipe bowl with a famous pipe smoker in history, just, you know, share a pipe, a relaxing 1 hour with any pipe smoker in history, who would that be?
That's a great question.
There's a lot of options out there, you know?
I'm gonna go with Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
What an interesting dude, you know. I'm just gonna leave it there. I think he'd be a fascinating person to talk to.
Yeah, I tend to agree. You don't have to say a lot about him to to sell why. Man, that's great. Einstein, of course, one of the most famous pipe smokers in the 20th century. So.
That's an easy grab. I'll go with that. I mean, what a fascinating mind.
Yeah.
I think that my curiosity would be more around pipe smoking. I probably just want to interview him, talk about, you know, when'd you start pipe smoking and what's your favorite blend and stuff.
Have some of that revelation, or whatever. Yeah. You know. That's great. If people want to follow your work and keep up with both, you know, your pipes and also your podcast, like, where do they go to do that?
The best place is to go to oompaul.com for my website. You can pick up my pipes there. You can listen to the podcast right there. You can listen to the podcast through iTunes as well. You can subscribe that way. You can pick up my work at Cup of Joe's. You can pick up my work at pipeandcigars.com, as well as the infamous rockstarpipes.com.
Yeah.
Jay Corcoran is probably one of the funniest guys that I've been able to meet through pipes. And he every time I meet him, I end up crying and dehydrating because he just keeps me rolling. That guy, he's insane. So.
That's great. That's great. And your main site is oompaul.com, oompaul.com, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Why
did you choose Oompaul?
That's a great question. You can also follow me on Instagram at oleps3, that's OLIEPS, and then the number 3. I post tons of stuff there, especially if I'm working on something in the shop.
Yeah.
That gives you a good insight of what's coming out of the, you know, what's on the bench right now. And if you want to say, hey, I'm really interested in that, you can do that. I've had a number of sales.
Up. Yeah.
Through Instagram that never made it to the site.
Never even get to market.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So the reason my wife and I decided on oompaul.com was I wanted something that would be memorable, that was odd, and kind of unique. Now, there's a good and bad to this because I get a lot of people saying, hey, I've got this Oompaul pipe. Can you help me out with this, that, or the other? Or they want to know information about Oompauls.
Yeah.
before really looking around the site and realizing, oh, this isn't about Paul's. So
certainly gets them in the door, right?
Yeah, I think that our idea was just a single word that had something to do with pipes that would be memorable, that people wouldn't forget about.
Yeah.
And it's served us well in many ways, and I think that people do kind of remember it, and it's not too generic, and it's not too watered down, that kind of thing. So it's been good. It's been good.
Yeah, people always know that are familiar with your work. They don't have a long address to remember. It's real easy, and any pipe enthusiast has an Paul in their collection somewhere. So
yeah, for sure,
man. Well, dude, thank you for coming on, Ole. I had a great time.
Oh, hey, man, thanks for having
me. Appreciate you a bunch, and yeah, we highly recommend you. Look out Ole's work, both on his Instagram and Facebook, I'm assuming, and check out Paul.com as well. So, Ole, thanks so much for coming by, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I look forward to having you on my show.
I'd love that.
Let's
man,
do it.
I'd love absolutely.
Sweet.
All right, brother.
Thank you.
We've got to give Ollie a big thank you for taking the time out of the show and coming down, sitting down, hearing a little bit about what he's got going on at Monstrosity Pipes, and then also just the wonderful work that he's done in the pipe podcasting community. If you haven't gotten a chance to check out his show, you absolutely should. If you go to umpaul.com, you'll be able to find his work, his podcast. Really, really great stuff. Very excited to do some collaboration with them. It's been on the bucket list for quite some time, so we were just really honored. We even took a picture, all three of us, or all four of us, I should say, me, John David, Ollie, and Brian. So they had the trifecta going on in Chicago, which was a lot of fun. But y'all be sure to check that out on Facebook. You can find all of our contact information at countrysquireradio.com. And guess what? Next week, we will be back in Jackson, Mississippi, broadcasting live on May 23rd. So be sure to join us, countrysquireradio.com, for the live show. I know that a lot of y'all have been missing us. I'm looking at you, Pappy Joe. I know very specifically you've been sending me some well, I'll just say I'll miss you too, buddy. I miss you too. So we're looking forward to going back and being live with you guys again. For those who enjoy the live show, for everyone else, we'll go back to a more traditional format. But I hope over the last couple of weeks, you've really enjoyed us bringing you along to Chicago, experiencing some of the things that we were able to experience, and just enjoying it as a whole. Y'all been so supportive of us throughout this process. And guys, we look forward to every opportunity we get to meet you in person, and we hope to have more opportunities to meet you guys in person in the coming year as well. So that being said, guys, let's go have a night.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.